Beautiful. Mozart. One of his adagios. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are. Shalom Aleichem, Assalam, Namaste. Excuse me. Shalom Aleichem, Assalam Aleichem, Namaste, Pak Sat Nam, Sat Sri Akal, Tashi Dalek, Ho Lila Tanya, Wasi Yake. May everything be well with you as it is with me. Now, I will recite the Kaddish for the dead and the mourners of the dead, so please close your eyes as you listen. Remember someone to whom you were close, who has passed away, and in doing so, you'll honor that person's life and bless his or her memory with the light of your own consciousness. Yiskadal v'yishkadash me'rabo, bomo divero kirase, v'amlik melkase, makayakon uvyo makon, uvkaya dekol beis Yisrael, bagalo uvizman koreyev ve'imru omein. Yehe shmei rabo mevorak, le'olam u'le'olme omayo. Yisbarak v'yistabak v'yisparar v'yisramam, v'yisnase v'yishadar, v'yisale v'yishalal. Shmeidu kadsho berakhu le'olo, minkol berkaso v'sharoso, tushbekoso v'nekamoso, da'amiron be'olmo v'imru omein. Yehe shloma rabo min shamayo, Vekayim aleinu ve'al kol Yisrael ve'imru amen. Ose shalom bimromo, hu yashe shalom, uleinu ve'al kol Yisrael ve'imru amen. Thank you very much. Check our recording levels here. Make sure everything is operating as it should be. And looks good. All right. Well, in our last class, we were talking about Ezekiel's vision of the Godhead, of the chariot, and within the chariot, the throne of God, and on that throne of God, the King himself, God, sitting. So we've been talking about that, reading the first chapter of Ezekiel, because that's where it's recorded. It's also discussed in chapter 10, but the essential vision, the totality of the vision is set forth in the entirety of chapter 1 of the book of Ezekiel. So we've been reading through that, and I've been making commentary, doing a running commentary on that as we go. And in our last class, toward the end, I said that Ezekiel's account of his vision of the chariot was essentially a description of the four spiritual worlds contained within the Godhead. Now, I'm not the first to make this observation. Yeshua ben Sirah, a scribe, a Jewish scribe who lived and wrote in Palestine around sometime around 190 or 180 before the Common Era, wrote a book that is called in the Christian canon, the book of, it's only in the Catholic canon, that branch of Christianity, but it's called the Book of Ecclesiasticus. But it was written entirely in Hebrew, and as I say, it was written before the Christians came on the scene by about 200 years minimum, almost 300 years. Before the Christians even came on the scene. It was written entirely in Hebrew. And it was referred to, even by the Greeks, as the wisdom of Ben Sirah, you know, not as Ecclesiasticus. So we will choose to call it the wisdom of Ben Sirah. Doesn't matter what you call it, Ecclesiasticus or the wisdom of Ben Sirah. But anyway, way back 200 years before the Christian era, or the Common Era, this Jewish scribe stated in chapter 49, and this whole book is a book of what's called, it's one of the wisdom texts. It has it has teachings of wisdom of sages down through time, handed down traditionally in the traditional manner, orally taught. And he gathered a bunch of these together and wrote them down. Well, in chapter 49, verse 8, he says, Ezekiel saw a vision and described the different orders of the chariot. Now, that's not just an interesting comment. That's a very important comment. Because he doesn't just say that Ezekiel saw a vision. He says that he wrote the vision down, and in writing it down, he described the different orders of the chariot. The phrase, different orders of the chariot, refers to the different levels or stages of God's manifestation in the world. Because what did Ezekiel truly see? He didn't literally see a chariot. He perceived a chariot. But remember, this is a vision. And in a vision, you don't see something that's literal. What you're seeing is something that's spiritual. You may be seeing it, but it's more of an experience than it is even of anything that's impacting your visual cortex as a result of coming through from the outside world through your retina and your optic nerve. What you're seeing in your visual cortex, and I'll say that the visual cortex is the mind's eye, are the sense impressions, the neural impulses, coming from that part of the brain which is not connected to the optical nerve, but instead is a part of the brain that experiences spiritual matters, spiritual events. A part of the brain that God speaks to, that God reveals himself to. And that part of the brain picks up those impressions and sends them to the optic, or not the optic nerve, sends them to the visual cortex. And so you see, quote-unquote, a vision. I see in quotes, not vision. But that's what a vision is. A vision is something that you, quote-unquote, see. Because it has it has the characteristics of a visual sense impression of something in the external world. But it's not something in the external world. At least not the external world alone. It's something that's in the internal world. It's in the psyche that this thing is taking place. This spiritual event that we call a vision is taking place in the human psyche. And what is it? It's a connection between the self, which is inside you, with a capital S, not to be confused with the ego. Because the ego consciousness, that's the part of you that says, I, me. When you tell somebody, I went to the store and I bought a dozen eggs. Well, the subject that you're referring to, that I in those sentences, is your ego consciousness. And it exists within your psyche. It's a part of your psyche. It's not the totality of your psyche. It's the center of your psyche. But it is in, because that's where your consciousness is centered. All right? You live within the I, the sense of I, and the sense of now. That's where you and I and all of the human beings live, is within the center of the consciousness, which is centered in the concept of the ego consciousness. That's the center of your consciousness. Okay? But when you have a vision, there's another part of your psyche, and that is the eternal part of your psyche. The ego consciousness is the temporal part of your psyche. And it's only going to exist as long as your body exists. When your body dies, your ego consciousness, which is mortal and which is bound to it, and in fact arises from the body. That's right, it's a phenomenon. It's a phenomenon of the human brain. So it's a physical matter, just like some of the agnostic or atheistic scientists say that mind is nothing more than the sum total of all the electromagnetic fields that exist as a result of the humming of the neuroelectrical transmissions of the brain. But God is beyond that. That's the ego consciousness. God is beyond that. God is the self with a capital S. It's the sense of totality, the sense of wholeness that never feels alienated. The ego consciousness feels alienated all the time. Think about it. Now, I've kind of gotten off topic here, but this needs to be said, or it wouldn't be coming forth through me. This is an example of the Ruach HaKodesh saying, no, here's what we're going to teach on. It's important that people understand this. So the ego consciousness is only a part of the human psyche. It's the part that's temporary, that's associated with the body, that is a result of the physical operations of the life forces in the human body. But also in the psyche, which is larger than just the ego consciousness, is the self. The self is the central organizing principle of the totality of life within the human being. The psyche can be called the totality of life. It's the totality of all experience. It's the totality of all consciousness. The ego consciousness is the personal consciousness of the human being, of you and me. It's the part that experiences, that says, oh yes, I'm the one who had that vision. The ego consciousness is the target to which the self, which is the originator of the vision, which is another word for God, the immanent God within you, it's the source of the vision, and the target of the vision is the ego consciousness, the temporary consciousness, which in fact is split off and originates in the immanent God within you, the self. The ego personality is a miniaturized mitotic duplicate of the self. In Genesis, we are told by God that man was made in his form and likeness. So the ego personality, the ego consciousness, is made in the image and likeness of the self. The ego is the part. The self is the whole. Rather, the self is the core of the whole. The whole being the psyche, which contains both human temporal ego consciousness and divine eternal God consciousness, which is the self. And there's a relationship between the ego consciousness, the personality that thinks of itself in terms of I and me, and the God consciousness, the self. There's a relationship. There's an actual channel, an actual connection, which Jung describes, well, I'm not going to say for sure it was Jung, but at least one of his disciples, one of his students, described it as the ego-self axis. The ego-self axis. And it's a channel, like an umbilical cord. We'll use that metaphor, that analogy to think of. It's like an umbilical cord between the mother and the child. Because that relationship really is, that's a really good description of the relationship between the ego consciousness and the self, between man or woman and the immanent God within. One is like the child, the offspring of the mother, the father. The mother slash father. The daughter slash son is related to the mother slash father in the same manner that the ego personality is related to the self with a capital S. Now, I know that's a bit far afield from what we started out, but the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, the divine inspiration, demanded that be taught at this particular time. Now, getting back to how we got onto that, Yeshua ben Sirah, in his great book, The Wisdom of Ben Sirah, wrote in chapter 49, verse 8, Ezekiel saw a vision and described the different orders of the chariot. And as we said, he saw this vision where? He saw this vision in his, he experienced the vision in his ego consciousness. His ego personality is what experienced the vision. It was the receiver of the vision. He received this inside his mind, inside his brain, physically in the visual cortex, which the rest of the brain, the frontal lobes and the temporal lobes, analyzed and thought about. And then he wrote down what he saw. And actually not what he saw so much as what his perception of what the vision was. And always remember that whenever somebody writes down something that is revealed to them from God in the form of a vision or a dream, there's going to be a great deal of it that is left out because there are no words at all to describe it. And then secondly, there's going to be a bunch that's misdescribed, that the words will inevitably, no matter how valiantly the person who saw the vision, the author of the description of the vision, tries to get exactly the right words to describe it, it's going to be impossible to do because the level of language is at a lower level than the level of perception. And so language, words, will never be adequate to describe all of the elements of a spiritual vision. Okay, so we have here Ben Sirah saying that Ezekiel saw a vision and described the different orders of the chariot. Now, I talked a little bit about this, or I began to talk about this in our last class, and I want to clear it up a little bit because I felt like it was what was coming out to me was just raw from the Holy Spirit. And so I was just speaking stream of consciousness as it was being revealed to me. And so now I've gone back and I've kind of tried to clean this up to make this more understandable on the level of the human intellect, which is very rational. It's very binah-centered. In the center called understanding in the brain, the rational side of the brain. All right, the phrase different orders of the chariot refers to the different levels or stages of God's manifestation in the world. What are these? And remember, there were four. I mentioned there were four. Well, what are these four orders, as Ben Sirah calls them, or levels? Ezekiel describes them from the top to the bottom as, and here's from Ezekiel's vision. Going from the top down, he says that there's four, he doesn't say there's four orders, but we can derive this from what he wrote. There's the level of the king. In other words, he saw a king, God, who is seated on the second level, which is the throne of God. That's the second level. First level is the king, who's sitting on the second level, which is the throne of God, which is supported and carried by the third level, which is a chayot, which is Hebrew for living beings, which we said were the four, the angels. We said those were angels with four heads and four wings, which form the frame of the and the floor of the chariot. Okay, that's the third level. And then the fourth level is the level of the ophanim. That's the level of the wheels within the wheels. These are angels also, but they're the lowest level angels. And they are the Ophanim, the wheels within the wheels, the rim of which is filled with eyes. Okay, these are the four levels. Now, this depiction of the four levels of God's manifestation corresponds to the four worlds depicted in the Kabbalistic Etzkayim. Remember, Etzkayim is Hebrew for tree of life. What we're talking about is that diagram on our website, which if you do not have, you should not be even attempting to understand any of these teachings, because almost all Kabbalah centers around discussions of the cosmic tree of life, the divine Etzkayim. So you need to get that. You need to print that out right off of the front page of the website. You can just click on it and print it out. And you'll have that diagram and have it with you when we're teaching. Because right now I'm going to describe that diagram. Okay, so those four levels that are mentioned, or that we can derive from the writing and description of Ezekiel in the first book of Ezekiel, those four levels correspond to the four worlds that we teach about in the Etzkayim. The four worlds or universes in which God manifests himself or reveals himself. And those are from top to bottom. The first world is Atzilut, Olam Atzilut, the world of emanation. This consists of three sefirot. The sefirot of Keter, which is crown, which is, again, this is king, Hakma Binah. This world of Atzilut can be seen as one being, the king, the ancient holy one, the ancient of days, Atika Kadisha, Arik Anpin, the long-suffering one. Okay, this is the world of the king, and it's equivalent to the image in the vision of Ezekiel of the king. And in that vision of Ezekiel, the king is sitting on the throne. Well, that's equivalent to the second world or universe in the Kabbalistic tree. That's Berea Olam, or Olam Berea, the world of creation. This includes this is the world of the throne. It's even referred to as the world of the throne. And it includes the next triad of Sefirot, which are starting on the right-hand side, Chesed, meaning loving-kindness, Gevurah, meaning power, and Tiferet, meaning beauty, sometimes called Tiferet Israel, beauty of Israel. Okay, that's the world of the throne. And then the next layer down that you have in the Etzkayim, the diagram of the ten holy sefirot, is Olam Yetzirah, or Yetzirah Olam, the world or universe of formation. This consists of the triad of the next three sefirot down, which is Netzach, which means endurance or victory, Hod, which means glory, and Yesod, which means foundation. It also includes, at the same time, the Sefirah Teferet. Now, wait a minute, you say. Didn't you just tell us that that was the bottom Sefirah in the world of Berea, the world of the throne? Yes, I did. But Teferet is unique. Teferet is the central Sefirah in the entire Sephirotic tree. It is the central station of all the pathways. And if you look, you'll see that almost all the pathways run to Tiferet. So it's the clearinghouse of all the messages, all of the influxes and effluxes of Shafa, that's divine sustenance from God, divine energy, are all run through Tiferet. And except for the connection between Yesod and Malkut, that's a unique situation. So Tiferet is in both worlds. Tiferet, who can be seen as Malka Kadisha, the holy king, equivalent to Mashiach, equivalent to Melchizedek HaMashiach, Holy King Messiah, occupies a special place. Two worlds, and two worlds at the same time, the world of the throne and the world of formation, which is known as the angelic world, the world of the angels. Okay, now that's an interesting correspondence, isn't it? Because the world of the angels is what we call the third level. That's the third level in the Sephirotic tree. It's also the third level in the vision of Ezekiel, the level of the Kayat, the living beings, the angels with four heads and four wings, which make up the body and frame of the chariot. Okay, this leaves us then with the Ophanim, the fourth level or order in Ezekiel's vision, the wheels within the wheels, the bottommost world or order. And that's equivalent to the world of Asiya, Asiya Olam or Olam Asiya, the world of action. This consists of only one Sephira. It's the tenth Sephira down, Malkut, which means kingdom. It's also named Shekinah, because the Shekinah has been exiled into the world of man. Oh, and that's the other name for this. This world is the world of man. It's the world in which we exist. All right. And so I wanted to make this more clear than I think it was yesterday. So what I'm really saying here, what's really being revealed here is that just as Ben-Sirah said back around 190 before the Common Era, that Ezekiel saw a vision and described the different orders of the chariot, that there's four different orders, and I wanted to bring that out. There's these four different orders, and that these four orders go from top to bottom and correspond to the four worlds in the Kabbalistic tree of life. That's Kayim, the diagram of the ten holy sephirot. All right. Further, in our last meeting, we showed or stated very briefly that the Sepharim, which is the highest angel in the world of angels, which were depicted in Ezekiel's vision as fire and light, running and returning, remember those phrases, as in a flash of lightning, running and returning in a flash of lightning, up and down from the top of the head of the king, which is God, to the Ophanim, which are the lowest angels, the wheels on the chariot. We said that those Seraphim, constitute God's word. I'm going to change that here so I don't repeat that mistake. Seraphim, okay, in my notes. Okay, so these constitute God's word, running up and down. Another word for word, the Greek word for God's word is logos, of which the fourth gospel of John says that in the beginning was the word, the logos, and it was light. Well, that's a teaching right out of Kabbalah. Okay, so the logos, or God's word, in the form of the seraphim, which Ezekiel saw in the vision, is running to and fro, or running and returning, up and down, as in a flash of lightning, communicates with the king, that's at the top, and then coordinates the actions of all the four orders of the chariot and its king. Well, this is the equivalent in Kabbalah of the 22 paths. If you look at that diagram of the Etz Chaim, the Tree of Life, you will see that all the four orders of the chariot and of the Ten Sephirot, all the Ten Sephirot, are connected by 22 paths. These are the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. Tradition teaches us that each Hebrew letter consists of a different quality of light. Okay, so this is what we're talking about, and this is what John, in the fourth gospel, at the very beginning is talking about God's word, logos. Was in the beginning was God's word, and it was light. Okay, so this is a Kabbalistic teaching. Okay, now we'll continue on and finish up today reading and discussing the first chapter of Ezekiel. Verse 22, and the likeness of the firmament was upon the heads of the living creature, like the color of awesome ice, stretched out above their heads. What is this talking about? This is saying that there is a firmament, which is like a ceiling or a floor. You can view it either way. It's equivalent to what's talked about in the first chapter of Genesis, in which God said, let there be a firmament between the upper waters and the lower waters, between the heaven and the earth. Okay? What it's talking about here is a lens that separates two worlds, the upper and the lower worlds, Berea from Yetzirah. Why do I say Berea from Yetzirah? Because it says here that this is on top of the heads of the coyote, the four angels with the four wings and the four heads. Okay, and we already identified that as being the angelic world. That's the world of Yetzirah, and the world of Berea is the world of the world of the throne. And so that's what we're talking about. This is a lens or a veil is another word we can use for it. Now, notice how similar this symbolism is to that of the Anasazi indigenous people. Anasazi is a Pueblo word for, which means ancient ones. And these were a group of indigenous peoples that no longer exist, but who lived in the Four Corners area of the United States. The Four Corners where states of Colorado, New Mexico, Arizona, and Utah meet. And they built those cliff dwellings. Well, they had the same type of symbolism. They held that the universe consists of a series of concentric spheres. And I think that the Hopi still have this mythology. So the universe consists of a series of concentric spheres, similar to egg shells. It'd be like a series of, like these little Russian dolls that you see where you pull the head off one of the dolls and it's hollow and there's another doll just like it inside. You pull the head off that one and it's hollow and has another one inside that's smaller. Well, this is similar to the metaphysical conception of the universe that the Anasazi had. And they said that the universe consisted of a series of concentric spheres, similar to eggshells. And the sky of a lower or inner world was the ground of an upper or outer world. And they had these worship areas built into the plazas of each of their villages. They're called kivas. They were a hole excavated into the ground with a bench around the inside, large enough to hold over a dozen people if they needed to do so. And there was a fire in the center, and there was a ladder. There was a closed top except for an opening in the center that allowed smoke from the fire inside to escape, and also had a ladder coming down. And there was another hole down in the bottom of this kiva, and this hole in the dirt floor, the purpose of that was to admit the spirits of the lower world. You see, they viewed the floor of their kiva as being the sky of a world down beneath the ground, of a world interior to this world. And then symbolically, as the religious participants inside the kiva exited from the when they went in, they were entering down through the roof of that world into the world inside the kiva. That was a holy, a sacred temenos, a sacred place, and it was its own world between worlds. When they climbed back up the ladder and went out into the light of day, than they were entering back into this world. Okay, well, this is very similar to what's being described here by Ezekiel. And the likeness of the firmament was upon the heads of the living creature, like the color of awesome ice stretched out above their heads. Verse 23, and under the firmament, their wings straight were held straight, one toward another. Everyone had two which covered them. Everyone had two which covered their bodies. 24, and when they moved, I heard the noise of their wings, like the noise of great waters, like the voice of the Almighty, the voice of a tumult, like the noise of an army camp. When they stood, they let down their wings. 25, and there was a voice from above, the firmament that was over their heads, when they stood still and had let down their wings. Verse 26, and above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne. Okay, now my comment to this is this is the world of the throne, Olam Bariah. Okay, and this likeness of the throne in an appearance like lapis lazuli, and upon the likeness of the throne was a likeness like the appearance of a man upon it. This man is the king, Adonai, Yahweh, Yod-Heh-Vov-Heh, God. Verse 27, and I saw something like the color of amber, like the appearance of fire, enclosed around it, from what appeared to be his loins upward, and from what appeared to be his loins downward. I saw what appeared to be fire, and it had brightness around it. As the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness around it. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. Glory of the Lord, the word glory is in Hebrew is kavod. We spell it K-A-V as in Victor, O-D as in David. Kavod. It's a shining splendor, as it's described here, a glow like a rainbow that accompanies the Lord's presence. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one speaking. And then that's the vision. And we won't go into what God tells him. But that's what he saw that is the beginning of this vision. All right. I'm going to stop here. Tomorrow I'll talk about what Merkabah mysticism actually was in practice. What the mystics did in the practice of Merkabah mysticism. Oh, actually, it won't be tomorrow. Today's Wednesday, so it'll be Monday. Same time, same place. Tonight, what we taught today will be rebroadcast, as always, at 10 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Pacific. And this concludes today's teaching. Don't forget to remember God at least twice today. Until we meet again, may you go from strength to strength, and be well. Sei gesund.